The Mac Observer's Mac Geek Gab number 42 for March 6, 2006.
Greetings, folks, and welcome to the Mac Observer's Mac Geek Gab. I'm Dave Hamilton, and I'm here with John Braun. Hi, John.
Hey, Dave.
How are you?
42, man. 42 is... Thank you for letting me do the intro.
Of course.
42 is one of the coolest numbers ever.
It's the answer to everything.
Or, yeah, if you got the right question. Right?
What is the question?
It's the wrong question, but for those out there, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is the humor we're referring to, and actually Douglas Adams, who was a Apple master, yes?
That's right. Yeah.
May he rest in peace. Was quite a Mac type of guy, and I think we ran into him at one of the Macworlds.
He was quite a few of the Macworlds, actually.
San Fran. He wrote some nice software. So 42 is the answer. You just need to tell us.
And the answer tonight is about Activity Monitor. Like we discussed last week, Activity Monitor and its various columns and what we can use it for are sort of the focus of our organized discussion this evening. And of course, I use that term loosely. And then, we've got more reader feedback, and there was some news that that happened this week, and all sorts of other things. So,
what news?
What's that?
You're going to tell me.
I'll tell you what happened this week.
Always news.
Yeah, there's always news. But first, we do need to pay some bills here. So, our first co-sponsor is Audio Engine at AudioEngineUSA.com. Audio Engine is the maker of the Audio Engine A5 series of speakers. They list for $349. And yes, we've had some of you write in saying, wow, that's a lot of money. Is it worth it? Honestly, and this is just editorializing, but I think so. Absolutely. I think it's worth more. These speakers, you get what you pay for. So, and the nice part is, of course, it's two separate speakers. You can plug them into your computer. You know, if you're the kind of person that watches DVDs on your computer, this is a great thing. Set up the DVD. Put these speakers on, you can separate them out, get a nice stereo field going, and you're good to go. And then, of course, you can unplug them, take them with you. You can charge your iPod with it, and you can also charge your cell phone if it's got a USB-based charger like the new Motorola Razors do. Excellent, excellent product from the folks at Audio Engine, AudioEngineUSA.com. And our second co-sponsor is from the folks at IB2Cool.com. That's IB2Cool.com. They have the new batteries for the iPod video, and these things look pretty cool. You got to check out their website to look at them. It sort of clamps right onto the back of the iPod video, or the iPod, whatever Apple actually calls it these days. And the claims are that it increases video playback time from 2 hours to 10 hours and audio playing time from 10 hours to 40 hours. And once it's initially charged, it only takes 3 hours to charge the thing. Back to full tilt there. So, and it also will charge your iPod's internal battery, so you can plug the thing in and take it off. So it comes with two skins and a stand to watch videos like a TV, cradle, a belt clip. It retails for $99.95, but just for you, $79.95 using promotional coupon code MACGEEK at IB2Cool.com. Man, I gotta have to check one of those out.
IB2Cool.com. Okay, because I was trying that, and so make sure you put it in that way. Not the word T-W-O, but IB2Cool.com.
But I got to check one of those out. Yeah, I'm going to Austin in a couple of weeks here. That might be a good thing to have on the airplane, so I might have to check one of those out and use our coupon code.
Can you do that?
Why not? Why couldn't I? It'd be a good thing. Then I'll tell you how it works. So
excellent.
I got a cold tonight. Well, I had the cold last week. This isn't news to any of you. And of course, for those
of you
that
sick boy,
there are some of you that actually write in and tell us that you listen to our shows back to back. So you listen to like four or five shows all in the course of like a day, and you get to hear themes and all that stuff. And instantly, I'm sure you could all tell that the cold I had last week, which has been termed cold razor throat, is still with me. Now, thankfully, the razor throat portion is gone, but I'm still all congested and stuff. So if you hear weird breaks in the show, that's why, because I will have paused things to cleanse, if you will, or just really take a breath.
The curse of the Northeast, perhaps.
Well, it's, you know what? It's the curse of having, it's it, and I hate to use this term because having kids is great, but it is one of the downfalls of having children.
Oh, they're germ magnets. Oh, man. They're filthy little creatures.
Yeah, well, and they're out there at school and, you know, they just, they collect these things.
Touching other filthy little creatures. I mean, it's...
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a recipe for disaster.
It's a recipe for disaster. So, let's bring up the activity monitor here. There are...
Dave, how do I bring up the activity monitor? I just, unless you have menu meters.
Yeah, which we'll talk about too. But
but what if I don't have menu meters? Then, how do I get to this little gem?
You go to applications and utilities, and then it's in at the top of utilities, if you're sorted by name, should be activity monitor.
Excellent. Now, a little sideline.
Yeah.
On the left side of your screen, you normally have in the Finder window, in the upper left, you have, you know, your major items, and then the lower left, you have your minor items like desktop, your home folder, documents, etc.
Yeah.
I find it handy to drag over the utilities folder there.
Well, that's a geeky thing to do.
It's always available. It's a geeky thing to do, but if you're in the utilities folder, which if you're a geek and you're listening to us, you should be in that folder.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Put it there just to, you know, save one click. So I just thought I'd toss that in because I didn't think of it initially, and someone said to me, hey, you go there all the time. Just put that folder there.
Just put it there. Yeah, I do the same thing.
So continue. So we're in the utilities folder. We have our friend Activity Monitor.
Activity Monitor, and it can tell you a lot about what's going on with your Mac. And I'm sure most of the folks here that listen to the show have probably opened Activity Monitor at one time or another. But starting from the left, well, actually, let's start at the top. Really, to make it worth its salt, what you want to do is next to, you've got Quit Process, Inspect, and then there's a drop-down that normally starts on My Processes. You want to change that to All Processes. Otherwise, you're not really going to get a full picture of what's going on inside your Mac. You're only going to see the processes that are run as your user. And frankly, that's not going to tell you enough.
So who do these other processes belong to?
Well, if you've got
they're not mine, I mean...
Yeah, if you've got other users on the computer, then... You know, if you've got, you know, if you're doing the multiple login thing, then certainly that there could be processors that belong to other users. But really what we're looking for, in addition to the processes that you've launched, are the ones launched by the system or root. And that's the Mac OS for the most part, or at least you hope it is. If there's some nefarious process running as root, then all those claims of us having viruses on the Mac might actually be true.
That's not funny.
Yeah, well, it is kind of funny.
It is kind of
funny. But anyway.
I'd say more malware. Viruses, some may debate with us, but I don't think we've seen a full-fledged Mac virus yet.
Not since the disinfectant days of yore. But anyway.
Disinfectant, wow.
Wow, see?
Remember, and that was the greatest thing for all the 10 viruses that you had on the Mac back
then. That's right. Mac OS they got them all. 7 or whatever it was.
Root, man. So, root. What is root up to here? I see a whole bunch of stuff.
So you're looking at going from left to right. We're going to go quickly at first, and then we'll slow way down. But process ID is on the left, and really all that is it tells you anytime a program is launched on Mac OS X, or on any Unix really, and I believe that's correct. It launches or it assigns it a process ID number, and that number just goes up by one every time a process is launched. So the higher that number is, the later in this grand scheme of things that a process was launched. Of course, it all resets to zero when you reboot. And then the process...
Look at zero is kernel task.
Kernel task.
That's probably important.
Yeah, you don't ever want to quit that. So then you've got process name, and then I believe the next thing is user. And then after that is the percent of CPU. Percent of CPU is an interesting thing because it can tell you how much of your processor any given application or program is using. And this is probably what most of you have opened the activity monitor to see, is that, you know, if you've used it in the past, chances are this is what you've done. And of course, any of the columns that you see here, you can click on them and sort either up or down. And it's very handy, of course, to set your CPU usage column decremental so that you can see what process is using the most CPU. And that's a handy thing, but suppose you care about how much memory your computer is consuming or if you have enough RAM and all of that good stuff. And that's where Activity Monitor tends to break down a little bit, right, John?
with the memory.
Yeah, well, and it only breaks. It'll show you everything it can, but it breaks down because things get a little wacky in Unix. You've got memory that's assigned to an application that's assigned only to that application. And then you've got shared memory that can be shared among one or more applications, depending on how it's used and what it's being used for. And then you have virtual memory. That is the memory that, or the data that should be kept in memory but isn't and is stored on the disk. And all of that sounds very, very straightforward. Unfortunately, it gets a little bit confused when you look at it in Activity Monitor or pre-Panther. So if you've got 10.2 or less, you can get a lot of this data by running a similar utility from the command line called top, which gives you a lot of the same data, just sort of in a much less graphical format, right?
Top, I remember that. And, oh, the predecessor, of course.
The predecessor of top?
PS.
Oh, yeah. Well, PS is still there.
Process status, but that's very static. So
it's very static, yeah.
Go on.
Okay. So memory. There's a couple of columns that you're probably going to want to have and a couple that you're not. So at any point in time, if we're talking about something and you don't see this column there in Activity Monitor, go to the View menu, go to Columns, and you'll see a whole list of things. Whatever is checked will appear in the Activity Monitor. Whatever is not checked won't. So the first thing we're going to talk about is real memory. And that column is fairly valuable because it tells you with a somewhat accurate sense how much physical RAM that particular program is using. And of course, you can sort by this and see what's actually going on. It's not entirely correct, but it's for the most part, it's pretty close. Based on what I understand, and I've been using Unix for a while and have done quite a bit of research on this because it's all quite muddy out there. But based on what I can understand, real memory is the result of adding the private memory, which is another column, and that is private memory is only for that application, plus shared memory, and you get real memory. But, of course, some of that shared memory might also be assigned to other processes too. So there's a fudge factor going on there. But that's what those columns are for. If you're looking for a ballpark, and you're never going to get anything exact because of the way Unix manages memory, but if you're looking for a ballpark, look at the real memory column, and that'll give you a decent idea what's going on. Does that make sense, John?
No.
What?
Hey. Yes, of course. But you know, looking up on that, so all right, so we have Activity Monitor, we got the columns of memory, real memory, and yes, I agree with you, that's pretty accurate because you look next to it and you see virtual memory and it's like, that's very, very different. But before I mention that, on the bottom of the Activity Monitor, you will have a certain number of icons, and let me know if you want to delve into this, or I'm sorry, a certain number of tabs.
The tabs.
One is system memory.
That's right. Yeah, and so.
And
well,
do we want to go there yet? Because I see these categories of memory.
Let's get through the columns there, because it all relates to kind of the aggregate numbers down there in system memory, right?
Okay, so we'll get there.
So, but does your understanding of this kind of jive with what I've found that real memory is private plus shared, kind of sorta. Okay. is that kind of sorta you know better, or kind of sorta
I'm going with you, brother.
Okay. That's fine.
It sounds reasonable. I'm looking at the sizes on the various tasks. I see, you know, Safari 60 megs, Eudora 50 megs, Finder. So instinctually, I think you're on the right path.
I think I am too, and based on all the Unix research that I've done and experienced over the years. So then one interesting column, though, is virtual memory. And if you sort by virtual memory, chances are you're going to see something very high for a process called kernel task, which John mentioned before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then you'll see numbers, fairly high numbers for just about every other app, and high in relation to the real memory. Now, I used to assume that this virtual memory column meant that this was the actual amount of virtual memory in use on the hard disk for this program at any given point in time. Now, wouldn't you think that, John?
Now that I'm looking at the value there, I would say no.
It couldn't possibly be, could it? That's right. Yes, the numbers are too high.
Because I'm
Go ahead and pick a process there, John, and double click on it, if you would.
All I'm going to say is in my virtual memory column for the kernel task, it's 1.1 gig, which is
really
much
high.
The amount of memory that I have in my Mac.
That's right. So
at least my portable.
Double click. Well, let me see.
Of course, double clicking will show you the parent task. For the most part, right?
Well, yeah, it will. Double click on anything but kernel task, because kernel task, of course, is sort of the parent of everything.
Let's try Safari.
So, all right. Okay. I'll do the same thing with Safari here. Yeah.
Yep.
And so you've got three tabs. You've got memory statistics and then open files and ports. Go ahead, since we're talking about memory, go ahead and over to the memory tab, John.
Yep. I'm there.
Now you'll see the real memory size, and that should jive with what you see in the columns there. And the virtual memory size should jive with what you see in the columns. And we're going to tell you what that virtual memory size means. Shared, of course, jives. Private jives, and private, of course, you mentioned before. And then there is a virtual private memory. Do you like that
number? Virtual, not private, but virtual private.
That's right.
And it's not a combination of the virtual and the private.
No, it's not.
That's misleading.
Yes, it is. So... Here's what's going on. The computer, any given application launches and says, I need a truckload of virtual memory. And like Safari, right now on my machine, Safari is actually running pretty lean. It tends to be a memory hog, but right now it's running with 61 megs of real memory and 251 of virtual memory. However, that virtual memory is the amount of virtual memory that is currently assigned to Safari and that it is allowed to use. It's not what it's actually using. So it's a bogus column unless you're a developer. I can't see any use for this column. If you're a developer, it'll tell you, well, the app that you just wrote is requesting X amount of virtual memory. And you either look at it and say, yeah, that sounds about right. Or you say, what the heck? So, but other than that, it's a useless column. It doesn't tell me anything that I need to know about my Mac in terms of, you know, do I need to reboot or do I have enough RAM or what's going on? Useless statistic as far as I'm concerned. And if any of you have a use for this statistic, let me know. If you want to see how much you have in terms of swap files, you have to go to the terminal. And by swap files, sorry, I just jumped about a light year ahead there. And when with virtual memory, like we explained, of course, things are saved to the hard disk. Memory is saved out in pages, 4K pages, out to the hard disk. And it's read when it needs it. And of course, that way the system can make room in real RAM for the stuff that it needs to use. However, you may at some point say, well, how much is it using on my hard disk? Good question. And the way to answer it is to open up the terminal and type sysctl space VM, and that's syscontrol, or sysctl space VM for virtual memory. And you'll see two lines. The second line is the valuable line, and it's vm.swap usage. And the total will be there, the total number of bytes, and this is the actual number of bytes on your disk that is being held aside for virtual memory. And then the three numbers are the total, how much is used, and then, of course, how much is free on your disk. And that can kind of let you know where you're running at any given point in time. Are you finding that, John?
Nice.
Now, the latest version of menu meters will also give you this information in the dropdown for memory usage. If you look, it'll show you your at the bottom where it shows you how much swap space is used. It tells you how much how much total and how much used, and that's new as of 1.3 in menu meters.
Yeah, that's my preferred.
Yeah, it's an easier way of getting it. Yeah, but
swap files, you see the lowdown.
Yeah, and it does. Yeah. If you're not, I know we talk about it all the time, but really, I mean, this is like my right arm. If you're not running menu meters, you're missing
out.
You're
not with it, man.
You're missing out. Yeah, you should run it. It's free. Hey.
If you want to make your life more difficult, don't use it.
Yeah, turn it off. That's right. Okay, so down to the bottom of Activity Monitor's display where you have the tabs that you mentioned, John.
Yeah, good stuff.
It is good stuff.
In the memory one, can I talk about that one?
Go ahead, man. Yeah.
Here's the one that confuses me the most. So we see the memory wired. All right.
Do you know what that is?
As far as I can tell, I've read up on that, and wired memory is memory that apps say, you know, I really, you can't mess with this. You know, like system tables, very critical OS type stuff says, I got to be this type of memory. Okay.
That's right. And just to clarify, applications cannot request that memory be wired. Only the OS can do it. So like, you know, Skype isn't going to say, oh, got to be wired. That it can't. It doesn't have the rights to do that. Only the OS does. So
thanks for that. So,
sure.
Yeah. So I was hinting, you know, like, yeah, very, you know, stuff that cannot get, you know, swapped out and things like that. Active is pretty straightforward. Now, here's the one that's weird. Inactive. I think you would agree, Dave.
Well,
inactive. It's like, well, what do you mean it's inactive?
That's right. Well, so active, you're right. Active is pretty clear. That's the stuff that's loaded into RAM, not on the disk, and in use. Inactive, let's say you launch a program, right? And if you launch Safari, it's going to load the whole WebCore toolkit along with it and, you know, any font rendering stuff that it needs and maybe some sound stuff. And I'm just pulling this stuff out of my head. I may be wrong, but for the sake of argument here, it doesn't matter. All those libraries are separate from Safari. They get loaded into shared memory. It's an oversimplification of the whole thing, but bear with me here, right? So when you quit Safari, it frees up the real memory because there's, you know, whatever it had there, that's just Safari. But the rest of the libraries stay in memory. They just stay marked as inactive. And that's why sometimes the second time you launch an application, it seems to launch so much faster because it says, well, I need that library. And the system says, check. You know, it doesn't have to wait to load it. It just check next.
It's like caching.
Bingo.
You've heard of these things. Right. So inactive, and the thing is, you'll notice if you look at our pal menu meters, it lists two types of memory.
Right.
Used and available. The used memory is the wired plus the active.
That's right.
The free memory is the inactive, where if you didn't know what inactive meant, you'd be like, plus the free memory. Especially inactive is like, just in case, I'm here for you.
So,
but if somebody wants to clear me out, okay.
That's right.
So that's why it's considered free. So I actually like menu meters for making it a lot clearer to people. Because if you looked at these figures, you may not get an accurate idea of, you know, how much, you know, if you need more memory. The free, now I think from what I've read, if the free goes too low, that's bad.
Well, I mean,
if it gets to like nothing, maybe you need more memory.
That's right. Yeah. If free and inactive are really low, then you've got a big problem. Yeah. But it really, free memory should be, once your system's been running for a little while, free memory is going to be pretty low because it's just going to leave the stuff inactive that it doesn't need. There's no reason to get rid of it. It doesn't cost the system a lot to keep track of it. So it might as well just let it be there. And there you go. So, and yeah, if you look, what's your VM size say there, John, in your system memory?
7
tab?
Gigs.
That's right. Yeah. It's not really using 7 gigs on your disk though, is it? See, it lies. That number is the sum of the useless virtual memory column. Well, it doesn't lie. It tells you something. It leads you to believe something that's not necessarily true.
This may happen.
Yes.
Probably
this,
not.
Yeah, this is what's been requested, but I can't really tell you. Now, actually, below that is a good benchmark. It shows you the number of page ins and page outs. And before, I sort of glossed over the concept of virtual memory. When a program needs a piece of data, if it's something that that can't fit into memory, what it does is it says, okay, look, I'm taking the priority now. Really, it tells the system this. And it says, okay, you know, I need this. And the system says, all right, hang on. And it goes and looks and finds something that's not in use and it saves it off to the disk and then brings in whatever the program that is active is requesting and bingo, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
So that process is called paging because it doesn't write the entire program in and out to the disk. It just writes pieces of it, little pages, little 4K pages. So the whole process of doing that is called paging in or paging out. Paging out means I ran out of room in memory and had to start saving things to the hard drive. So if you're running with page outs, page ins can be as high as you want. Doesn't matter. Page outs, if those are zero, it means you're using no virtual memory and your system's running really clean. You might have too much RAM. Take some out. No, don't really. But if the page out number keeps going up and up and up and up and up, you might not have enough RAM. Or you might be running Safari because it's a RAM pig and is a horrible piece of software in terms of memory management. I highly recommend quitting Safari twice a day.
And some of the plugins, like the Flash plugin, and some of the others seem to do some really, well, actually, I've noticed that some of the animation plugins really seem to chomp the processor.
Oh, the CPU,
especially on a G4. I don't know about your new shiny new machine.
Oh, no, the MacBook rocks, man. We love it.
Because Safari is native. Universal, I would imagine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it runs Intel. No question. Yeah, now, and it's interesting. The whole reason I found out about this and dug into what the activity monitor was doing is I noticed that the system UI server was eating up hundreds of megabytes of RAM, of real memory.
And UI server, I would imagine that's user interface, like the display or the
I thought the same.
What is that?
I thought the same thing too. And for literally the last year, I just didn't think about it. I thought, well, it must need it for Windows or whatever, display. Mm-hmm. Like you said, it's something, sure.
Okay. I don't feel so dumb.
Nope. Well, as it turns out, the system UI server does one thing and one thing only. Mm-hmm. It deals with the menu bar at the top of your screen. That's it. That's it.
It's not doing much.
No, and it certainly doesn't need hundreds of megs. I think I was running a little menulet up there that was just leaking memory like you couldn't imagine. And once I got rid of that, it was the one from Now Up to Date and Contact, which I can't live without. I can't live without Now Up to Date and Contact. But yeah, I think their menulet. My calendar file goes back to like 1993, so I think that might be part of it.
Well, even menu meters is up there. I wonder if that consumes probably a little. I mean, it doesn't do a lot. I mean, it does it. But it does very well.
Yeah, but that's where menu meters lives. And if you look, it's probably using some of your CPU, right? Mm-hmm. System UI server has got to be using a little bit because menu meters is trucking stuff along and the clock's there. Yeah. And if you're having trouble, like today, I updated menu meters, John, on this machine. And it said you got to log out and log back in. I thought, well, I don't want to log out. John's about to Skype me and we're going to do the show.
You better log out.
No, I didn't. I just force quit the system UI server process. It loaded and fresh new version of menu meters up and running.
Nice. So VM, the problem is the hard drives are bigger than affordable memory.
Correct.
I want somebody to do something about that.
Well, if you go back in time,
I want like piles of memory.
Right. Go back to like 1995 and compare today's hard drive prices with yesteryear's RAM prices, and you'll probably be on equal footing.
Or the RAM prices.
Actually, wait a minute. You want hard drive prices and RAM prices to be even? Is that right, John? Closer to even?
I want as much memory as hard drive for the same price.
That's fine. I can sell you. Buy your RAM anywhere you want. Tell me what you paid for it per megabyte, and I'll sell you the hard drive to match.
Really?
Sure. You tell me what you paid per megabyte for RAM, and I'll sell you a hard drive any size you want for the same price per megabyte.
Yeah, got me. I missed that part. But still, someday it would be nice to have, a terabyte of RAM.
Oh, sure. Well, you could have it today. You couldn't put it in your Mac. I've already maxed out the MacBook Pro. I got that at 2 gigs.
Oh. And I'm here my G5. I think the G5 has, 4 or 8 slots, right?
Oh, yeah, you've got at least, I think, 6, if not 8.
I'm up to 1.5 on this thing.
Okay.
Pretty modest.
Yeah. Yeah, but on my MacBook, I'm constantly running with 2 gigs of swap in use.
Yep.
It's crazy. Why do I need that much swap?
So I'm looking someday you won't need the hard drive. It'll be all RAM.
All flash-based, huh? Man, that'd be sweet.
Well, not now, flash is relatively slow. Some other different memory technology.
Yeah.
Flash, I think, is relatively slow.
Right.
Writing, at least, and reading. Yeah. But it's nice because it lasts without power.
That's right.
So anyway, so we got system memory. Now, the other one I really like, especially if you're curious about your what's happening on your network. You see the lights blinking on your router and your airport, and what the heck's going on? So the network tab on the activity monitor I really like, because it shows you the data
yeah
went in and leaving.
I do. I use that, and I, of course, use the menu meter's equivalent, but this is pretty good. Mm-hmm. And it's nice because it gives you the rate at which data is coming and going, which is very handy to see what's happening on your Mac.
Yeah, and I've actually noticed with this one that the rate sometimes, menu meter sometimes kind of smooths things out.
This will show you
a little graph and actually some actual spikes. So
right, right.
Like actually my provider here, the Optimum Online folks,
yep,
actually upped our bandwidth to, what did they get it up to? It was, I think it's now up to 1.5 megabits a second.
Upstream?
Down.
No, you
no,
should be
up. I think 200. You should be,
no, you're more than that downstream with Optimum. I'm 8 here with Comcast.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I think that. No, I'm sorry. 15. No,
that's right. Yeah.
15. No, 15 I'm sorry. Down. There were 10. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I think I was speaking megabytes.
That's right.
Megabits, megabytes.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, they went up to. They just upgraded it. I mean, they have a fiber backbone, so even that's kind of slow. But
that's right.
15 megabits is.
That's sweet, man. That's double what I got here.
Yeah, so we got 15.
What's your
15
upstream?
Down. I think they're up to 200 kilobytes a second, or 200 kilobits. It's pretty slow. They upped
really?
It a little bit.
That is slow. Because I'm at 768 here upstream.
Yeah, so what are they doing? Maybe 200. No, actually, I think it's 200. So it's 1.5 megabytes downstream,
right.
200 kilobytes upstream.
Okay.
Let me put it in bytes. I think.
Maybe it's 256K upstream.
Yeah, something like
that's
that.
Probably right.
Yeah, round figure. But they actually introduced here, unless you're one of the lucky people like up in Boston or some other areas that have like Verizon and those guys that offer the huge bandwidth fiber into the house. I still remember back in the at-home days, which, well, you know, that was a bad stock pick. But I had one of the first, first cable modems in my area, but... They moved away from the standard, but when I asked the installer, I'm like, yeah, so... It's a, cable fiber hybrid. When do you think I'm going to get fiber to the house? And he just laughed. But that was over 10 years ago.
Yeah, that's right.
When it was really right next. So maybe not where you are. It's kind of distant. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. Will you get over it already? Hey, so something else to get over. And actually, I don't mean to get over this. I wanted to, we've gotten a slew of emails over time, both complimenting and criticizing us on our... the sound quality of the podcast that we do here. And of course, as we mentioned from day one, one of the main goals of this show, or not goals, but one of the parameters of this show is that it requires zero or very close to zero post-production time. We need to finish the show and upload it. And frankly, that's just a factor of how much time we have to put into the show.
And we want to sound real.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we want to sound real, but we don't have 2 hours after the show to put this out. If it needed 2 hours of post-production, it would take days to get out.
And we have no staff.
That's right. John doesn't do anything.
That we can admit to.
that's right. No, we do. Well, we have Michael. Michael converts it to AAC very graciously.
Thank you, Michael.
Every week. Yeah.
What about your kids, though? Don't they help? Well,
no. Kathy Lee knows nothing. But John's level's a little bit low, or even if he's fine, but it dips a little bit from time to time, we hear about it. And some of you, you've heard back from us, some of you are very constructive in your criticism, and it's great. And others of you aren't so constructive, but that's okay too. It's fine. It doesn't matter. Please tell us if you don't think it sounds good. We want to know. I'm not complaining about that. What I am complaining about is I'm hoping that you do this with every show you listen to, because I just downloaded a couple of episodes of that Ricky Gervais show, the one that had like, I think they measured the downloads in buttfillions or something. It had like, great whopping buttloads of downloads, right? I mean, millions.
Whopping?
And, yes.
Pantloads?
Yes, millions and millions of downloads. And now they're selling it on Audible or something. And so there's three guys.
Wow.
It's similar to this, except they're not talking about really anything. Of course, we aren't either. But so I guess maybe they're actually, the difference is they're actually funny, okay, and entertaining.
You're funny.
Whereas we're not really. But but anyway, one of the guys on there is kind of the soft-spoken guy and the one that they pick on all the time. But you can't ever hear him. I was driving in my car. I'm like, well, this stinks. I mean, this guy's even lower level than John. When even when people complain.
Oh, that's- So that's bad, man.
Yeah, it's bad. And now they're selling this stuff. So I hope you're complaining to them too. That's where this rant was going. Just complain equally and really, but don't stop your complaints to us. If you're not going to complain equally, complain to us because we'll actually do something about it. Hopefully tonight's show sounds okay. But, so that's that. So we have
a change.
What's that?
You're saying,
What was I saying?
Well, no, I was talking about the change, but that's
the change. Oh, we'll stay out of the audio geek stuff for now.
We'll do that next week.
Yeah. We'll talk about it. We'll narrow it down.
Okay. Go on.
But there are a couple of things going on. First of all, we have a survey up. Backbeat Media, another company with which I'm involved, full disclosure, is of course the company that represents the advertising portion of this podcast. They take care of dealing with the sponsors and finding folks that want to sponsor us and interfacing with them and everything. And Backbeat Media is running a survey on all of our podcasts, which include this one, of course, Coverville, Evil Genius Chronicles, Winecast, This Day in Apple History, and the Mac Observer's Weekly Roundup with Ricky Spiro. So we're running a survey on all the podcasts. Please, please, please take the time to fill it out. There's an iPod Nano in it for you, at least a drawing for one. And we're doing a separate Nano for a lot of each of the shows. So, you know, if you fill out for Coverville, you can fill out for this one, and you could potentially win two Nanos if your luck runs that high. And of course, if you're Irish, this is the month, right? With St. Patrick's Day coming up. So
can I do this?
You can fill it out too, of course.
Oh,
yeah, absolutely. So if you go to the best place to find it is to go to the show notes at macgeekgab.com. There'll be a big picture of a Nano. Just click on it and that'll take you through to the survey. It should select that you came from MacGeekGab automatically and go through. But please do that. The questions are simple. It's one page worth of questions. You're not going through 18 pages. One page worth of questions. When you get to the bottom of that page, you are done. Enter your email address if you want to be entered into the survey. If you don't, thank you for filling it out and we'll happily, you know, draw someone else for the iPod Nano. And if lots and lots of you fill it out, that's okay. We'll actually add more Nanos to the mix. So
get out.
No, man, we're doing this the right way. We, they, us, you, us, all of us.
We,
you, me,
you.
Hi, I'm Dave.
Oh,
and I'm here with John Bro. Oh, wait a minute. We already did that part. We're here to talk about activity. Oh, we did that part too. you know what? We did every part, didn't we?
We're to have coffee and talk.
Oh my God.
This is coffee talk. That's one of my favorites.
I like that. That's good.
Oh, when I sent you the video though. Yeah. Well, I told you my story about that.
But, you told me your story.
SNL had a very nice Natalie Portman rap video, which is like very hard to find, but
you can find it on video.google.com. Yeah. I'm sure.
It was funny.
Yeah. So the band's rocking.
They're rolling.
Even rolling. That's right.
They're jiving and they're joking.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh.
What do we got here?
What's next week? Next week. Do we know what we're doing next week? I don't think so.
No,
you tell us.
You, the user, will guide us.
You tell us.
Next week.
Next week we'll go through some of the wish list stuff. We've had some of you send in suggestions for your geek wish list, so we'll go through some of that. Of course, I'd like to take one last moment and thank our sponsors, AudioEngineUSA.com and IB2Cool.com.
Too cool.
That's right. And of course, this podcast is being downloaded from Cashfly Hosting, or has already been downloaded. By the time you get it, it'll be downloaded. It hasn't yet been uploaded, as far as I'm concerned. But anyway. Backbeat Media Podcast Network, if you want to sponsor this thing, please go fill out that survey. iTunes, comments. I think we're out of Newsvine invites, right, man?
I may have to revoke some that have been sitting around. So I may have one or two, but
You gotta do something nice if you want one of those Newsvine invites.
Yeah.
One of you saw one of them come from me. I know I kept saying I was out. I actually had one left. And one of you hit my sentimental heart on Friday night. Out it went. That's just the way it goes, though. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I like.
I do. All right, so audio
no,
comments.
I meant the listeners.
MacGeekGab. At MacObserver.com. You can call in to 206-666-GEEK. MacGeekGab.com. Show notes. Survey.
Survey. she wrote.
She wrote something?
Or spoke.
Oh.